Hello and welcome to all our radio entrepreneurs, listeners, and viewers. I'm producer Nathan Gobes, and I'm excited to introduce you to a brand new segment on Radio Entrepreneurs, the FBA Family Business Panel Discussion. Before we get to our esteemed panelists, I'd like to mention this show's primary sponsor, the FBA. The Family Business Association supports and awards family-owned and operated businesses throughout the New England area, and in this December edition of the panel discussion, which will be broken into three parts, we'll be discussing topics related to adapting to change in difficult times, organizing company financials, budgeting, and minimizing costs during the pandemic, preparing for the end of year and start of 2021, and much more. This episode is part one of three, and in this portion, we will be focusing on the first of these three topics, adapting to change in difficult times. All of these discussions are intended to be highly relevant to family businesses, but also entrepreneurs of all types. So be sure to follow Radio Entrepreneurs on LinkedIn, YouTube, Spotify, iTunes, Facebook, or any of the many other platforms we stream on to catch each of these segments as they go live. Next, I'd like to introduce our first panelist, longtime supporter of Radio Entrepreneurs and frequent guest on our show, Rich Hershon.
Hey Nathan, thanks for having me.
You're welcome. Thanks for joining. Rich is a partner at Gray, Gray & Gray, a regional CPA firm located in Canton, Massachusetts. Rich provides expert guidance for businesses in tax strategy and compliance, audits, reviews and complications of financial statements, revenue recognition procedures, strategic planning, and management reporting and analysis. Our second panelist is Stephen Wilchins, founding partner and attorney at Wilchins, Constantino & Novins, with over 42 years of experience serving the business and estate planning needs of families, individuals, and owners of large and closely held businesses. Stephen has also co-founded several businesses and currently serves on seven privately held boards in several diverse industries. Welcome, Stephen.
Pleasure to be here.
And our third panelist for this segment is Christian Stone, Vice President of Private Banking at Cambridge Trust. Chris is responsible for introducing clients to the expertise and capabilities of Cambridge Trust and then partnering with portfolio management, trust and estate, banking, and lending colleagues to deliver coordinated advice. Chris has a deep family history background and over 17 years of experience in wealth management. Welcome, Chris.
Thanks for having me.
Last but not least, I'd like to introduce Radio Entrepreneurs host and host of this panel discussion, Jeffrey Davis of Mage LLC. Jeffrey S. Davis is the chairman and founder of Mage LLC, a firm that has provided successful business, leadership, and strategic advice to over 700 successful or entrepreneurial organizations and leaders. Jeffrey's practical, energetic, hands-on approach and rare ability to understand and focus on each client's organizational and strategic needs has helped him become a nationally and internationally retained advisor, board member, and speaker. Jeffrey Davis is regularly called on by the media as a resource of change, strategy, and managing the challenges faced by entrepreneurs and leaders trying to succeed in today's shifting world. Welcome, Jeffrey.
Well, thank you, everyone, and thank you to my esteemed panel. That was a little bit long on myself. I was starting to get a little bit embarrassed. I was wondering who you were talking about. But let me start off right away, and I throw this open to the whole crowd. This has been an unprecedented year for all of us, not only for our clients, but also for us in running our own firms. And we all do run our own firms. We're all dealing with family businesses. I grew up in family business as well. How has the pandemic for you people, you think, changed business permanently? And is there anyone in particular who wants to start with that one?
Yeah, I mean, Jeff, I'll take a stab at it, but I think it still remains to be seen kind of the long-term impact this is going to have in terms of, remote working. Is that going to be something that's here to stay? I tend to think it might not be 100% remote, but I don't think we're going to be going back to 100% in person either. I think it'll be somewhere in the middle. So, certainly in some of the space needs companies have, will be different. And I think, the opportunity to work remotely, starts to get into different IT issues and cybersecurity issues, and all that. I think many businesses have found that having an online presence has been, the way to get through this pandemic as people couldn't go to stores or weren't comfortable going to stores. I think ordering things online and having delivery. And I've seen, several stories of companies that, change their business model. And, one in particular, they were a food distributor to mostly restaurants. And in the spring, that dried up and they started delivering right to homes and residences. And they've launched a whole new company by utilizing their trucks and warehouse and, all their product and going right to consumers rather than restaurants. So, I think all businesses are going to have changed. I think every year brings change to businesses. Certainly the pandemic has caused a lot of them, but I think there'll be a few permanent ones, definitely.
Rich, I would agree with you, if I may. I think though customer attitudes and expectations may have changed, and that's something that's very important to monitor during the pandemic. Also, your business model has to change based on the customer attitudes and expectations. And that would also impact capital structure as well as the structural change on how one does business today.
And I think in addition to both your points, you've seen technology kind of fast forward within a lot of these businesses where maybe they knew they were going to do it at some point or enhance their offering at some point, where this really kind of fast forwarded them to adapt technology all over the business, perhaps more so than they had in the past, where I think a lot of those changes are probably going to end up being permanent. And in addition to what both Rich and Steve said, you're also seeing a lot of these businesses think about how they can diversify their revenue streams so that they can perhaps better weather a future crisis, which hopefully we don't have, but unfortunately, you never know. So,
I mean, I'll just add one little piece to all this before I go on to my next question. When I first got into business, I worked for, a Madison Avenue marketing firm, and we used to write, business plans, marketing plans, 4 weeks, 125, 150 pages. About a year ago, we'd be writing business plans, sometimes 1 to 3 pages, and we were working at a certain pace, and people were talking about the pace of change being different. And I think from last year to this year, we've moved to dog years. I think the pace of change, the level of stress that it causes, the thinking, the lack of habitual behavior being acceptable anymore, that everything's about changing on a weekly basis, has forced leaders to change and employees to change the way we work, the way we build culture. So I think that's permanent. The pace of change never gets slower over the history of time. What we've learned over time is that the new pace starts, and that becomes the new norm. And I think the new norm is a real pace of change. So with that in mind, let me get to my second question. And it's something that's, again, always dear to my heart in my leadership work. And that is, during this time, what are the qualities you think are the most important for presidents and CEOs to possess in terms of their leadership skills? I always say to most leaders when I meet them that, a crisis defines the leadership and the quality of the leadership. It's not the everyday world. So what are you looking for from these people when you're out there meeting them and talking to them? And again, I throw it open to any one of you to start.
Sure. Okay, I'll take this one to start. So I think what's important is communication, relating to your customers, relating to your employees, relating to your suppliers. Adaptability is also very important as a leader to possess those qualities. Another interesting quality is self-control, making sure that you control your emotions and make sure that although you're honest and truthful, that you don't go out of sort. Your people are looking at you as a leader. It's very important. Also creativity, I think, is very important. And empathy with your employees, their health and well-being, and their financial success, as well as the suppliers and customers.
I mean, I think Steve probably answered that question about as well as anybody here could. I might add, absolutely agree on the adaptability aspect, the willingness to adopt change. And I might add on top of that, the willingness to seek out advice and counsel. Because for a lot of business owners, depending on where they are within their family business history, they may not have seen something like this before, and they may not have all of the professionals around them that they could have that could help them navigate through something like this.
I think that's a great point, Chris, of just, letting go, maybe putting down your ego and knowing that you might need help to get through this. I mean, this pandemic's new for all of us. And so I think a good leader can recognize that. But I think, Jeff, you hit the nail on the head a few minutes ago when you were speaking of saying 2020 has caused the need for a lot of change. And I think, you know, as Steve and Chris both said, adaptability and being a leader that can change and can change quickly and can rally the troops behind that change, I think is hugely important.
But also, I'm sorry, Jeff. It's also transparency. I think it's very important that you're transparent and you're candid with what you're saying, and you really mean what you say to your to the important people, your employees.
You know, I don't want to parrot everything that Steve said, but Chris was correct. Steve sort of knocked that one out of the park. And if I were to put a little cherry on your list, Steve, because I think it's worth our entrepreneurs writing them down, it's about character. And the qualities that you mentioned are really the qualities of a character leader, of a leader of charactership. And I think that's really important right now. And these times are really showing who the good leaders are and who are not the leaders. And I think that's important. You know, the next question, you know, we can all address it from different perspectives. My first thought was Rich Hershen. I'm not trying to pick on you, Rich, because it talks about headcount. And are we seeing the headcount in organizations changing? Because I know, you know, look, we're looking at efficiency per dollar employee and how we're adapting to our new protocols. But I'm thinking, are we looking at a different sort of composition within organizations? And that might be something that you touch upon maybe more than we would do than let's say my other two guests.
Yeah, I mean, I think headcount is being impacted with, you know, some companies' revenues are down, and, you know, in order to make ends meet and make sure the business can survive, you know, they'd have to have some layoffs. So that's happened. But even in companies that have been able to weather that storm, I think, you know, in some cases it's different workers. So, you know, maybe a business wasn't online very much and this pandemic has caused them to get online and they might need some IT support. With companies that are working more remotely, they might need, you know, more cybersecurity experts and things like that. You know, there may be more, you know, with trying to separate people and making sure they're socially distanced, that may cause more people. So I think every business has been impacted some way, which, you know, in many cases led to changes in maybe not the number of people, but the qualities of the people or the actual positions have changed. But every industry is a little bit different.
Right. I don't know, Chris, if you see that from a banking perspective, and Steve, if you see that from a law firm perspective. I know I'm seeing it because we're talking all the time about strategy. What's our go-to-market strategy? How are we servicing and communicating with clients efficiently and effectively? You know, my work tends to be a little bit more focused on that top line number. You know, Rich is about protecting the fort and looking at that bottom line number, maybe a little bit, what drops down a little bit more. But I know that's important to the banks as well.
Yeah, I mean, from a banking perspective, I think generally speaking, family businesses tend to be more debt averse because they've got a longer time horizon. And I think they're really cognizant of having additional cash on hand nowadays, and they're wanting to make sure that they take care of their employees. I think family businesses tend to be really protective and really care about the people that work for them, because many of them, yes, they're family members, but other members, other folks within the business that have worked there for a number of years are like family to them. And so I think what you're seeing is maybe a rethinking about how companies might think about debt, might think about using it to supplement what they're doing from a business perspective, from a capital infusion perspective as needed. But you're seeing people step up and wear different hats. You're seeing the patriarch or the matriarch really try to figure out ways to keep the business going with little impact to culture and morale and some of the folks that have stayed with them through good times and bad.
Well, I'm going to jump into, Steve, if that's okay, I'm going to jump into our next question because we have a long list and I'm trying to be the time guard for all of us. And I apologize for that. I think both Chris and Rich and Steve again, who hit the gong, relates to our next question because it's really about culture. And for me, you know, all studies have shown always the culture beats strategy, funding, market on a 3-to-1 basis. And, you know, how do we keep employees engaged during this time? What are you all seeing? I know for me, that's a big part of my work every day, but I'll let you guys go first. I don't want to steal, you know, your flame.
I think what's important is how is the business leaders and management connecting with their employees? I think they really need to have a direct line, especially with the people that are remotely working. How are your employees engaged? Are they actively engaged or are they remotely engaged? And I think that's very important. And what management also has to do is how does management recognize the people that are going through the difficult times that they're dealing with as a caretaker, as a parent, as someone helping their children with, you know, a single parent. So I think part of that issue is being more understanding as a manager or as an owner of a business with your employees as they balance life in the real world.
Yeah, I think, you know, what I found is just the personal touch can go a long way. And so at our company, we've been working remote for almost 10 months now. And so you don't see people in the office. You don't have that personal interaction. And we found just clicking on the Zoom button and connecting with someone just one-on-one to check in and say, hey, how's it going? You know, not even necessarily work life, sometimes just, you know, personal life, how they're doing. But I think just showing that you care about the people and just being there and just being a reassuring voice and checking in and taking an interest in them, I think goes a long way and helps with the culture.
Yeah, I think the small things these days go a long way. Even if it's just sending a gift basket to your employees to say that you're thinking about them or providing different benefits that maybe are more advantageous now than maybe they weren't previously. Different things to recognize what they're going through or struggling with and how hard they've worked through all this change and everything else, I think goes a long way.
You know, Chris, you must have the wrong address for me because I haven't seen the basket that you sent me yet.
Well, 2 weeks left.
Yeah, there's still time.
He sends good baskets.
Yeah, I'm a very sensitive guy. I think you're all right. I think the key right now is really about caring. And, you know, you really got to show, this is the time for emotional intelligence, which I think that's what Steve's been talking about a lot. It's really about caring about people and being genuine about caring, which is what Rich alluded to. And, you know, you always have enough time to reach out to your people one-to-one and talk to them and show them the patience to listen, to care, and to really hear what's going on for them. And I don't discount the need for the one-to-ones. Yes, I know a lot of companies doing the group things and the wine and cheese things, but don't get away from the one-to-ones. That's where people remember that who they're loyal to and that they're cared for. And, you know, it's important to be doing that as well. So I think you've all done a good job. The last question before we finish this segment of three segments is really about boards and boards of advisors. I know this is a big part of Steve's practice. Have you looked at boards differently and boards of advisors differently during the pandemic, Steve?
I think what you do is reassess where the business is and what the needs are and try to attract a board member that fills the needs of the company, whether it's a struggling issue with technology or issue with branding, with marketing, et cetera. I think that's very important. So the board needs to be active in filling the need that would help the business grow and adapt in a pandemic, during the pandemic.
Anybody want to pick up on that?
Yeah, I would just add, you know, to Steve's point, someone that can come in with a different set of eyes and experiences and that has maybe dealt with an enormous amount of change before and successfully navigated either other companies or otherwise through such challenges successfully to offer their insights.
Rich, are you going to pass on this one, or I'll wrap it up?
I think my colleagues here have really, you know, said all there is to say. I think they put it right. You know, utilize the board. I think board can be very powerful and bring a lot of different expertise to the company.
Well, I think that the natural tendency in COVID is to go for Groundhog Day, to sort of crawl into the ground. And I think what we're recommending, if you're listening, is the opposite. Do not go in the ground during this time. Go out, reach out, and allow people to question what you're doing and how you're doing it. And you need that voice probably more now than ever before. You need those checks and balances, especially in family businesses that have operated a certain way for generations and don't necessarily have enough outside perspective. So with that in mind, you know, more exciting segments to come. Turn it back to my producer, Nathan Gobes, to wrap it up.
Thank you, Jeffrey. And thanks, Rich, Steve, and Christian. That was a very interesting conversation and very useful comments on change and adaptation. So that wraps up part one of this December edition of the FBA Family Panel discussion. Thank you to all our listeners and viewers who've tuned in. Links will be provided in the video description below to parts 2 and 3 of the discussion to hear more on financials, end of year planning, and 2021 preparation. So check out those links and be sure to click subscribe or follow to stay up to date on all of our content. Until next time, thanks for listening. We'll be back with more stories on Radio Entrepreneurs.